I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Hello, everybody. I'm Silva Harapetian. For those of you who don't know me, I have spent most of my career in newsrooms across the country. But now, just like you, I'm finding myself at home during this pandemic and this global health crisis. And one of the things that keeps coming up is how much we are all feeling lost and how much we're all feeling a loss of the way life was before this pandemic. Talking about these things, there is no one better to speak about loss and hope than my friend and confidant and, quite honestly, my therapist and at times my client, Betsy Guerra. Before I actually introduce her and start a conversation with her, I want to share with you a little bit of her story with her permission. Can I do that, Betsy?
Absolutely. My house was seriously a fairy tale. We're about to start construction in the backyard and we wanted to enjoy the pool one last time with our family and friends. And at some point, my friend asks me, "Where's Fofi?" And when I looked down, I saw her red polka dot mini bathing suit. And at some point, I'm looking at my husband, and he was like, "Fofi, come on, Fofi, you're strong, Fofi. You got this, mamita. Let's go watch movies after here. You know, you got this." I found myself falling on my knees by the stretcher, singing a song to myself. And to me, that was like, okay, not gonna happen. She wasn't gonna be saved the way I wanted her to be saved.
How about you?
Are we ever gonna be happy again? Like, is it possible to be happy again? The priest said those that were happy again chose to honor their children or their lost one through service, through love, acts of kindness, and gratitude. And I want to honor my daughter. So everything that I do is to honor her. I learned through that experience that just because I went through this, it would make people feel more understood. And they would feel hopeful because if you went through this and you can smile and you can experience joy, then I can too.
If you found yourself crying and your heart ripped out of your chest, that is exactly how I feel and how she feels every time we watch this video together. I had the honor and the blessing to be able to work with her and putting that together. In knowing her is an absolute joy. And you've been present in my life at times that I did not think that I could make it through. And I know that in these times where we are feeling such immense loss, there is nobody better to help us navigate through this than you.
Thank you. Thank you, Silva, for having me. I am delighted to be here.
You are such a happy individual. You have so much joy in your life. And when I first met you and I discovered your story, I just used to wonder, how is she so happy? How is she walking around with a smile on her face, and she's just a ray of sunshine in her own life and her family's life and for everybody else. How does somebody just, I can't even use the word recover from something like that. How does someone get through something like that? Can you tell me a little bit about your process?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I've endured excruciating pain, Silva. But I know the most amazing joy. Like I am the happiest woman on earth.
Yeah.
And people know that about me. People know that I was in pain, and they know that I'm happy now, and they experience it. But I thought it was obvious that they knew how I went from one to the other, because I'm an open book, and I'm always sharing different things that have helped. But that's the question most people have. How did you go from hurt to hope to happiness to this fulfilling, joyful life? Mm. And that's actually what motivated me and compelled me to create an online journey. I'm in the process of writing this book. I've been writing it for 2 years. It's been therapy itself.
I know, when I first met you, you were already writing the book, and we were talking about where you were in the process.
Yes. It was actually you that inspired this book, because I was writing a different one. I don't know if you recall.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. It was a different book on relationships and communication, which was what I was focusing on the most. And you said, you have to start with your story. And I'm like, what does my story have to do with that? And you were like, you have to start with the story. And I stayed in the story. That's how that book came to me. That's why you're so special to me. Yes.
Oh, my God. I can't. I you know what? I'm not going to cry. I told myself today that I am not going to cry during this interview. But I think I might. Where's my Kleenex box? I think I might break down at some point. But listen, you know, when we talk about hurt to hope, right? We talk about the pain that you felt. And the pain, if it could be described, is a sense of loss, right? For you, it was the loss of your daughter. It was a loss of a way of life. It was a loss of being a mother to her. It was all kinds of loss packaged into that pain and that incident and that circumstance. And if we were to take that and bring that forward into our lives today, there are a lot of people who are experiencing loss right now. Many who've never have never experienced the kind of loss and the excruciating pain that you have, or some of the experiences I've had, but for the first time in their lives are feeling helpless, out of control, and all of these emotions that come with loss, basically having just lost their way of life.
Silva, I used to think that loss was losing a person to death. And throughout my experience and my career, I've realized that we all experience loss. Mm. Everybody has lost a loved one, whether it's through death or divorce. Everybody has lost their health at some point, financial stability. You lose your routine, your life as you knew it, your marriage, your family, your dreams. We have all endured loss, and the main symptom of that is pain. You cry, you're angry, you're fearful, you're stressed out, you're anxious, you're depressed, you're irritable, you're down, you're up, there's a roller coaster. It's pain. Understanding that events are neutral, they're neither good nor bad. Shakespeare says, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. The coronavirus is neutral. The death of my precious daughter is neutral. At the beginning of my experience and grieving process, I was the grieving mom that had like a scarlet letter that said, I am the mom that lost her child, because I couldn't even keep her alive. And all the guilt and everything, like, I imagine was on my forehead. Mm. And I lived that way, right? Like, my life resembled that interpretation of what my loss meant to me. But when being the grieving mom that lost her daughter was transformed, or better said, when I chose to transform my perspective from I'm the grieving mom that lost a daughter to I am the chosen mom of an angel, and I have hookups in heaven, and I get whatever I want because my daughter is so freaking cute that when she goes to God, he's like, of course I'm going to give you whatever you want for your mom. It changed everything.
Yeah.
One of the exercises in my online course is write a thank you letter to pain. Thank you, pain. Thank you, coronavirus. Thank you, loss of my daughter, my husband, my mom, my dad, my grandpa. Thank you to the experience of pain for teaching me this, helping me do that, helping me create perspective. To this day, every time my kids are driving me crazy, I think, thank you, Lord, because they're driving me crazy. Because they're here to drive me crazy. What yeah. I would give, Silva, what I would give for my daughter to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So pain creates perspective. I remember when I first went through my loss, I remember thinking, my gosh, am I going to lose my empathy? Am I going to go back to work and think, like, really? That's what you're worried about? And
you know, I have to stop you, and I have to tell you, I have thought that way many times, especially in the last year and a half, you know, when I've had really, really terrible moments, when I've had the pain of, whew. And I can't help but think about you when that happens, when I'm having those moments in comparison to the pain and the loss that you have felt. And in some ways, it's been the thing that gets me up. It's been the thing that makes me shift perspective. Because if you can get up and you can find happiness and joy after what you've been through, then who am I to not recover from a heartbreak, or not recover from losing my way of life, or not recover from a loss of a career or a job? Do you understand what I'm saying? And I don't know if that's the right way to look at it, but in comparison, you know, the same thing that you apply to yourself, I think I've found myself applying to my situation as well.
Well, that's what I would like to, one of the things that I would like to change in people's mindsets today. My friend, my good friend, is a blogger, a writer, and a speaker, and she has this blog that's titled, Does It Hurt Like a Paper Cut? Mm. And the idea of this blog is, Does it hurt like a paper cut? And you feel like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world because it hurts like a paper cut, and a paper cut hurts.
Yeah.
But then you're like, it's so minimal and right. dumb and ridiculous in the grand scheme of things. But it hurts. And pain is pain, yeah. regardless of the cause of it. The worst pain that we can endure and experience is the pain that we are going through right this moment. And I live this all the time. Of course, at some point you use tools to help you overcome that pain and find joy again. Mm. In the last 3 weeks, I've experienced the pain of homeschooling my three children here. And it's been hard. It's been really hard for me. And I would just complain. I couldn't stand myself. I couldn't. And it was painful. Like, and I, yeah. there were moments that I was like, Betsy, what would you tell a client? And what I would tell a client is embrace the pain, feel the pain. So for 3 weeks, I felt the pain of homeschooling.
It's so hard.
And finally, 3 weeks later, I was able to surrender it and accept it.
How did you not lose faith when you were faced with the worst thing that ever happened in your life?
I guess the simple answer to that is I wholeheartedly believe that God's plans for me and my daughter are better than my own. And faith is my superpower. Faith is my superpower. When I was at the hospital the day of the accident with my daughter's lifeless body, I was kneeling on the floor. I didn't stop praying for a second. I just wanted to make sure that God knew that I had a lot of faith so that he would save her. And I kept on begging him to save her. And I remember like asking for a scripture, a prayer, a sentence, a word, something that I could repeat in prayer without having to think. And what came to my mind in that moment that did not come from me, and I believe that profoundly, was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I remember in the moment thinking like, oh, no, that's me not having faith, because that would mean she wouldn't make it. And in hindsight, I understand and I believe two things that came from that. The first one is, that wasn't lack of faith. That was indeed God speaking to me that I was going to be okay, because I didn't have the strength to live without her. I didn't have the grace to have a life, right? Like, I could continue to breathe, but I couldn't live without her. But I didn't need to have that strength, because he was going to give it to me. So I could not leave that guy. Right? Like, when you believe that there's someone greater than you getting your back and advocating for you and making sure that whenever you can make it and your knees give in, that he holds you strong and tight, it's that's what gives me hope. That's what made me believe that I was gonna be happy again, even though I had no clue how that was even possible. You can't imagine being able to be happy again after losing your child. You can't imagine. And every day there's proof that it's impossible. But when you have faith that it's going to happen, because there's someone bigger and better that's taking care of everything, you're so powerful. Like, it's my superpower.
The thing that I'm getting out of that is surrendering, right? Surrendering to the fact that you don't know what you don't know, and that there is a bigger plan and a bigger picture, no matter how much pain you're in at the moment. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Surrender. And here's the thing about surrender and stillness while we're at it. When you stop trying to be it, when you surrender to the higher being, you are limitless. You're powerful. Your sky's the limit. And here's what happens when you allow for a time of stillness. That's why I'm a big fan of meditation or silent prayer, because when you quiet your mind and your humanity, you create the space, you open the space for you to be able to download the divine wisdom. And when there's that space, when you know that you don't have all the answers, but they lie within your divinity, then you're able to tap into that inner wisdom. It's like you consent to that divine wisdom to come in and illuminate you and enlighten your mind. But when we want to be just humans and supermen and superwomen and have all the answers ourselves, our minds, we're only incorporating one tiny little thing of our wholeness. Mm-hmm. We're minds, we're bodies, and we're spirits. And it's good to include all of them in the picture. So yes, I included my clinical skills and training, but that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I needed to tap into my soul, and the way to do that is by surrender and stillness.
Yeah. I'm Sylva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.